Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, this is the fourth annual golf outing. Is this one of your largest fundraisers for the organization?
Yes, it is. It's a very important fundraiser to us, and it does bring in a substantial amount of money to help support our survivors in our programs.
And I have to imagine that the governor lifting the restrictions in time for the golf outing couldn't have come at a better time.
You are absolutely correct. We're very happy and excited that the golf courses are open and able to accommodate us in a safe manner, you know, so that we can continue to raise the funds that are, you know, so desperately needed by survivors.
Now, is this the first fundraiser that you've been able to hold since the pandemic, or have you found alternate ways of raising funds?
This is actually the first one that we've been able to hold since the pandemic started. We have rescheduled some of our other events, including this one, because this event normally takes place in June, and this year we're going to do it in August.
So you've gone roughly 4 months, 4 months without a fundraiser. So I have to imagine the finances have been very challenging of Turning Point.
It has been more challenging. However, there are organizations that have stepped up to help provide some support because they recognize that our agencies and other nonprofits are not able to do the fundraising that we typically do.
Now, the proceeds from this particular outing, do they go to any specific need of Turning Point or pretty much for the operations in general?
These funds will go to help support services for our survivors, you know, because we have our shelter for survivors of domestic and sexual violence and our FNEP program, which is a forensic nurse examiner's program for our rape victims. We have the counseling services that we provide. And so these dollars will go to help provide and continue to provide those services. At this time, about 90% of dollars that come into Turning Point go directly to support programming for survivors.
Indeed. And I have to imagine that it's been challenging being able to provide those services during the pandemic. Have you been able to do so?
Shelter is... and of course, up and running, and you know, we are receiving probably an increase still of calls to our hotline of people needing our services. Counseling, which of course in the past was done face to face, is now being done either by phone or Zoom calls. So for the most part, I would say that we're providing all of the services that we normally would provide to survivors. What we are probably doing less of at this time is our prevention work, because, you know, our prevention work was done in the schools, in middle schools, in high schools, and of course currently, you know, they're not open, and so we are not providing as much of those services. We are doing some things still virtually in terms of education and prevention.
When we spoke back in March, we were told of anticipated uptick in the need for services, the turning point, just given the circumstances that victims of domestic abuse would be facing during the pandemic and during the shutdown. Had those fears been borne out over the past 3.5 months?
Mostly what we've seen at this time has been an increase in the number of calls to the crisis line. So some of those women and other victims of domestic and sexual assault are calling with more concerns about their safety while they're in their home because they're not feeling comfortable yet leaving their home and actually bringing their children to a shelter environment. What we are anticipating is that as the fears around COVID-19 diminish and or, you know, things become safer, that we will see an uptake in the number of people who actually come to the shelter. Unfortunately, right now, a lot of people are enduring the violence and at home and trying to get through that. You have to think about the safety not only of yourself but of your children and kind of weighing out, you know, which is more fearful or, you know, more damaging to me and my family, staying in this abusive situation or going to live in a shelter, which is a communal situation, and perhaps, you know, coming down with the virus. So it's a very difficult and very challenging time for victims and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault.
That goes without saying. And would you say you're seeing more of these cases during this pandemic as a result of the COVID crisis, or is it more anecdotal that you hear that people may not necessarily be calling given their concerns with the coronavirus?
I think that we are seeing more because we're still getting the hotline calls are still coming in and people are talking about their abuse. The police have talked about an increase in domestic violence calls. There have been several fatal, you know, incidents that have occurred, you know, across the Tri-County. It seems to indicate that there is definitely an increase in domestic violence because, I mean, it's very difficult ordinarily, but being kind of trapped together with your abuser is going to create a very difficult situation for people to work through emotionally and add that physical element, and it can become very dangerous.
In a sense, it's almost like you have your hands tied. You can't help if you don't hear from these people.
Correct. And I think, you know, like I said, we're hearing from some of them, but they're, you know, they're still trying to figure out how to be safe at home without putting their, you know, children at or themselves at risk. Plus, you know, one of the things that also has come out is that it makes sense if you think about it, is that there are many people who are at home who don't have the freedom to make the calls that they typically could make because you are at home with your abuser. So it's hard to sneak in a call to a domestic violence hotline if you're spending your time with that person and you don't have a lot of freedom.
You spoke about some of the outreach programs that have been grounded just by the inability to gather in certain numbers of groups. Have you been able to work around that, to find alternate ways to help people in that respect?
Well, we are still, like, through the hotline, we are still able to you know, help people with, you know, the best safety plans that we can come up with and kind of just think through different, you know, alternative methods for staying safe. We are still running our PPO office. Well, they're running it from their homes, but so PPO requests are up for survivors of domestic violence, and those are being handled pretty swiftly. So I would say, you know, within 24 to 48 hours, those cases are still being handled. So we have, you know, kind of found a workaround for that. In terms of, you know, some of the services that we provide to the community in general, in terms of education or prevention, we're doing a lot of virtual trainings and a lot of virtual information sharing so that people know what they can do to be safe, and so that hopefully people would realize that we, you know, we have a shelter that is, you know, relatively new, and we have done everything within our power to make sure that that shelter is safe and sanitized, and that we keep anybody who is part of that shelter, including our staff, safe, and have minimized the risk, you know, to getting COVID-19 as much as possible.
So let's talk about the golf outing coming up August 7th, I believe, is the day. Dave, give us some of the particulars.
So it's actually, it's being held at Cracklewood Golf Club. It is a scramble format with four-person teams. Registration will begin at 10:30, and we'll have a lot of games and prizes. We have a hole-in-one contest. It's $150 per golfer or $500 per foursome. And we will serve lunch. We have three drink tickets included and a steak dinner after play. And we think that this is a wonderful opportunity for people to come out, have a good time, enjoy themselves and the game, because it's more fun than serious. And while at the same time that they're enjoying themselves, they are also contributing to a cause that we think is extremely important and should be something that all of us are aware of, and also aware of the need to support financially or through some type of volunteerism so that we can help survivors of domestic violence.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.